And please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by your mercy and by your grace, Father, show us your word. Allow us to see, Father, what our Lord has done for us in the sufferings that he went through. And by your mercy, Father, make it live in our hearts. And I just thank you for this and ask you for it, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 26, we're going to start reading in verse 36. What our Lord did was that he did the will of God. He came to do it. I showed you that before in the previous teaching. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the next section that I'm going to show you, for the next 40 hours of his life, is probably the most written about and the most detailed section in God's Word than any other section about any other period of time. It is the most incredibly presented thing throughout the Scriptures. And it's so, so needful to be understood and seen. What I've done for you in your notes is I've given you the Scriptures, all the Scriptures, which I cannot cover tonight with you because there's not enough time, but I've given you in your notes, in order, from all four Gospels, the events of Jesus Christ's life, from the Garden of Gethsemane to through his crucifixion. And I have eliminated the Scriptures that talk about other things, like Judas and Peter and the denials and other of those things. In your power fellowships, I hope that you read them and go through them in order if you can and if you have time. If not, you can certainly do it at home. Our Lord and Savior, the night in which he was betrayed, he was with his fellow believers. He was with his most trusted and most loved individuals. And he was teaching them the Word of God. He taught them all day long, and he taught them all that night. And that same group of people he had the Last Supper with, and he washed their feet, and he ate with them, and he taught them many things. That evening, during that evening and during that meal, Judas Iscariot, one of his most trusted apostles, a man who was ordained an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man with a ministry, went out and sold him out. He sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. This is what 30 pieces of silver looks like. An apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ sold him out for a handful of change. One of his most trusted, a man who he gave the sop to that night, a man who he honored, a man who he washed his feet, and he sold him out for change. And he told, and he knew that that was coming, yet he washed his feet. Then he left, and Judas was off doing his thing. And Jesus Christ told the rest of them, and he continued to teach. And he walked with them, and they walked to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they got to the garden, I would like to read with you in Matthew chapter 26, the events that happened there. In verse 36, it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy." This was not an easy day. This was a very, very intense time because he knew what was coming. He began to be very heavy. Verse 38, "Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He didn't want to have to do this. If there was any other way to get God's will done, he prayed. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. Verse 40, and he cometh to his disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. In Luke chapter 22 in verse 45, it says that he found them sleeping for sorrow. He was so sorry. Our Lord was praying. He knew what he was going to have to do. He knew what he was going to face. And yet he was alone. Completely alone. They couldn't even stay awake and pray with him in that hour. It says also in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, that God sent him an angel to comfort him at that time. Remember what God said in Isaiah 42? That he would strengthen him and help him. In his time where he was so alone, God sent him an angel to comfort him. In verse 44, it says, And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as of great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Quite an intense time. Then he came back to them again, and they were still sleeping. And he said to them, go ahead and sleep, for the Son of Man is betrayed. And then while they were sleeping a short time later, then all of a sudden he could see coming in the distance. He could see a cohort, the scriptures say, a cohort of soldiers. How many there were, I don't know, but it was probably a very good number. And they were coming up, and they had torches, and they had knives and swords with them. And Judas was with them. And Judas had already agreed and told them, the man that I kiss, that's the one you want. And they walked up to him, and they said, and the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of his boldness and with all of his love, knowing, it says, turn to John 18, verse 4. In John 18, verse 4, it says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, upon him, he went forth and said unto them, who seek you? To this whole band of soldiers coming up the hill, he said, who seek you? He understood what was going on. And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. The boldness that he had, the authority that he had. This was a man who could stop the sea and the wind. And when he said, I am he, this band of soldiers, military men, the boldness hit them so hard, it says they stepped back and fell to the ground. But then you know what? Our Lord just so continued to love and so continued to be concerned about the people of God and fulfilling God's word. It says in John chapter 18, verse 7, in verse 8, it says, Jesus answered and said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Talking about the men that were with him. Don't take them also, just take me. He literally handed himself over, knowing what was going on. And it says this in verse 9, that it might be fulfilled, which was which he spake of them, which thou gave me, I have lost none. Again, he's still fulfilling the scriptures. Judas betrayed him at that moment with the kiss. And Peter got excited. Old Pete, he was a good man. He got excited, took out his knife, and he cut the high priest's servant's ear. Now here it is. Jesus Christ is trying to get them out of the jam, and Peter's putting them in. And he cuts the servant's ear, and Jesus Christ turns around and yells at Peter, "Put up your sword. Put up your sword. They that live by the sword will die by the sword. Put up the sword." And then he says to the soldiers, "Wait a minute. Hold on." And he touches the man's ear and he heals it. Can you imagine what went through those soldiers' minds? And he turns around to the whole band and he says, "Why seek you me out like a thief with swords and knives? Wasn't I with you every day in the temple? Didn't I teach openly?" And then they took him. He let them take him, but before they took him, there's a verse of scripture I'd like to read to you to show you his magnificent power. And also, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that he didn't have to do this. This wasn't written in stone. He chose to do this. He chose to do this. Because it says, he turns around to Peter. It's in Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 53. He says to Peter after he's done this, "Thinkest thou not that I can now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Don't you know, Peter, that God would give me 72,000 angels at this particular moment? That's 12 legions in Rome equaled 72,000 soldiers. Don't you know, Peter, I just have to ask my Father and he'd give me the armies of heaven? Verse 54, it says, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" He was fully intent on doing God's word, his will. He had the options. He chose to worship God by the freedom of his will and to do his Father's will. In Luke chapter 22, verse 51, is where he healed that man in his ear. Then they came and they took him. They came and they took him and they led him to Annas. And in John chapter 18, verse 19, he's going to be interrogated by the high priest Annas for the first time. He willingly gave himself. He's been betrayed by Judas. Can you imagine what he felt like? One of his own, one of the 12. And as they took him away, the scriptures say that all the rest of them fled. And they left him there. And in John chapter 18, verse 19, it says, "The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples." He asked them of his disciples and of his doctrine. "Who are those that were with you? What have you been teaching?" And Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort. And in secret I have said nothing. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. And then For when he had thus spoken, one of the officers, one of the soldiers, the temple guards that were standing by, which stood by, struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. The Greek word there is, I can't say it, but the Greek word is raspism, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" That means he struck him with the palm of his hand. This word can mean that he hit them sharply with his hand or with a rod repeatedly. And then Jesus answered him, "If thou hast spoken evil," if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. "But if well, why smitest thou me?" And the word to smite here means to fillet, to flog. We're not talking about a little slap. We're talking about this man repeatedly beat Jesus Christ with a rod, a whip. He beat him and he filleted him. You know what it is to fillet a fish? To fillet the skin. To flog. And remember, they're not just people he's dealing with. He's dealing with men who hate him. And I'm sure that they were not just a few little beatings. They beat him and they hated him and they had planned to kill him. And they had planned to kill him for a long time. The hate was built up within these men. And they did their best to lay as much pain on our Lord as they could. Then from there, he sent him off to the official high priest, Caiaphas, in Matthew 26, 57. And Caiaphas treated Jesus Christ. It says here in Matthew 27, 57, it says, "And they laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. And there the scribes and the elders were assembled." That means about 70 men, the head elders of Israel. But Peter, he followed. He followed there afar off to the high priest's place and the courtyard. And he went in and he sat down with the servants to see the end. He went there to see. Now the chief priest and the elders and the councils sought false witnesses against our Lord. They had a whole load of people lined up to accuse him. They were false witnesses. They were set up. The whole trial was a mockery. The whole trial was a setup to accuse this man and to make sure that he would die. But it says that they couldn't find two of them to agree. And you needed at least two witnesses in order to get the job done. Then it says in Matthew 26, 61, and talking about the two false witnesses, said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? And Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said." It was definitely a positive answer. "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter," he's looking the high priest in the eye. Look at me. He's looking this high priest in the eye. The high priest said to him, "I adjure thee by the living God. Tell me whether you're the Christ or not." And he answered affirmatively. And he answered, and then he says this. And this runs a chill down my spine. I would not want to be this high priest. He says, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You want to know whether I'm the Christ or not? Well, the next time you see me, the next time you see me, Mr. High Priest, you're going to see me sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, coming in the power. Then the high priest rent his clothes. He ripped his garments and said, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. So what they did is they passed sentence. Verse chapter 26, verse 67. Then did they spit in his face, and they buffeted him. They beat him repeatedly with their fists. And the others smote him with the palm of their hand. Remember that word? It is to whip a man with a cane, with a whip. Beat on him. There's 70 men there. They hate him with all of their heart. They're spitting in his face. They're beating on him with whips. They're hitting him as hard as they can. They're hitting him. They put a bag over his head and say, prophesy unto us. Who hit thee, thou Christ? And they did this all night long. When many other blasphemers spake they against him, with complete deceit, dishonesty, illegality, cruelty, they showed their hatred for the Son of God, the Messiah, their King. They did everything in their power to make sure that this man is going to die, and if they had to make it up, which is exactly what they did. And when they finally got their result and they passed judgment on him, they beat him and beat him and beat him. They filleted his skin from his flesh. The Word of God doesn't tell us what happened all that night. But the next morning, I can just imagine how men who hate so much would treat a man, and how long they would torture him cruelly. But the scriptures don't tell us everything that went on that night. Our Lord was bloody, beaten. Remember, in Isaiah it said that he would be beaten almost beyond recognition of being a man. 70 men working on you. And he walked into this openly. And at any time, he could have cried to his Father. But he didn't. And then, while this is going on, Peter's outside, remember? Peter's outside, and he's denied the Lord. He's denied the Lord several times. In fact, the last time he denies him, I don't know the man, and he does it cursing. And then somehow Peter can see Jesus, and Jesus can see Peter. It's sometime during this whole event. I don't know exactly when. And Peter denies the Lord vehemently. And then it says in Luke chapter 22, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine our Lord Jesus Christ's heart? One of his most beloved, the man who he had worked with and is talked about in the scriptures probably more than any of the others. He sees Peter denying him while these men are in the process of beating him. Would that tempt you to quit? Besides the physical torture that was going on, everyone who he has ministered to and poured his heart out in love has left him and ran away from him. The next morning is Tuesday morning. And in Luke 22, verse 66, we pick it up. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, the same band, all 70 of them, they have what's a little bit better of a trial. And the Lord is bleeding. He is completely beaten. And it says that early that next morning, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes, they came together and led him unto their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, will you believe? You will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, You say that I am. Again, this is a positive answer to what the question was because of the reaction that comes later. And it says, and they said, What need we any further witnesses? For we ourselves have heard his own mouth. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the judgment hall. And it was early. Now we're in John chapter 18. In Luke 23. In verse 2, they've led Jesus Christ to Pilate. They've crossed town with him. He's been beaten. All 70 of them come who hate him, and they bring him to Pilate, and they read the charges. And they begin, verse 2, and they begin to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation. And forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is the king, the Christ the king, that he himself is Christ the king. The other charges were unfounded, but they were standing before the Roman governor, so they had to stretch it a little bit more. Then Pilate, he starts to talk to Jesus. He sees what's going on. And he goes in and he speaks to our Lord. And he takes him in the judgment hall, verse 31. He takes him in the judgment hall. And then Pilate said to them, Take you him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put a man to death. They needed to have the Romans put Jesus to death because it was unlawful for them to put a man to death. They needed to make the Romans do it. Then Pilate interrogated our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he interrogated, verse 33, and Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee, of me? And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" What have you done? And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." Again, this is an affirmative answer. And then he says to them, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" How many times have you heard that? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went again out to the Jewish leaders and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." Pilate never took seriously the kingship of Jesus Christ. The Romans never considered him a threat. The Jews considered him. They hated him. They said that this man says he is the Christ, the Son of God. And they totally rejected their Messiah. They totally rejected him and wanted him killed because he even said it. So then Pilate found out that Jesus Christ was a Galilean. So he said, had a way out. So he says, "This man's a Galilean, send them off to Herod." Herod's got jurisdiction over the Galileans. So they marched our Lord across town again. He was in Jerusalem at that time. He gets over to Herod, and Herod, he was real interested in seeing Jesus Christ do a magic trick. And Jesus Christ wouldn't even talk to Herod. He didn't even answer the man. So Herod and his soldiers began to mock him. They said, "You're the king?" So they put a purple robe upon him, and they spat in his face, and they started to beat him. And they played, and they wanted to mock him because he had the audacity, this beaten man had the audacity to even consider the fact that he would be the king anywhere. But they could find no fault in him, and they sent him back again to Pilate. Pilate at this time goes back in, and he starts to ask Jesus Christ again, "Who are you? What have you done?" And he can find no fault in our Lord again. He goes back out and he says to the Jewish leaders, "I find no fault in this man." And they vehemently, they with all of their boldness and all of their guts and all of their heart, do everything that they can to turn Pilate's mind and Pilate's heart to force this man to kill our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pilate goes back in again, recognizing the fact that the Jewish leaders are envious against him. They're doing this for a reason. They want this man killed. But Pilate thinks it's ridiculous. There's nothing wrong. He's just a man who thinks he's a king. Then Pilate comes up with a plan. "I know what I'll do. Every year at this feast, I let one prisoner go." So he decides to go into the jails and to take the most treacherous man that's in the jail. Take the most treacherous man, a man who had seditions and murders, the scripture says, a man by the name of Barabbas, a man who has killed their own people, a murderer that is famous, like Manson. And he's going to put him up against Jesus. And this is Pilate's plan. So Pilate goes back in and he talks to the Jews and then he talks to the people. And he says, I'm going to release a prisoner today. And the people say, that's wonderful. So Pilate goes back in and interrogates Jesus. And he determines that if he walks up, if he treats Jesus so badly and scourges him and beats him, that these people will change their mind and see that this man has been dealt with the way he ought to be dealt with so he can live. I don't have to crucify him. So Pilate sends Jesus Christ and he sends him to the soldiers and they beat him. They beat him with whips. They tie him to a post and they beat him with whip like a cat and nine tail. Nine little things on the edge, and they put little pieces of metal and bone so that when it hits your back, it takes off the muscle and off the flesh, and it cuts down to the bone. And they beat him, and they beat him, and then after they're done beating him, they sit him down, and they plant on his head a crown of thorns, and they push it into his skull. And the thorns are not like the thorns that you see in a little rose bush that we have in America. The thorns are about an inch and a half to 2 inches in length. They're almost like steel. I've seen a piece of them. And they go into the thing and they push away the flesh from the bone. And his head is bleeding. And then they put on a purple cloak around him. And they dress him up like a puppet. And they walk him out, and Pilate says, behold the man, your king. And then he brings out Barabbas. And they say, should I release your king unto you? He doesn't look like a man much anymore. Most people would be merciful and say, oh my God, what have you done? Let him go. But not these people. The high priest and the religious leaders hated him so that they got the people all riled up. They got these people all riled up to the point that they said, let Barabbas go. Let Manson go. And crucify Jesus. And the people started screaming. And they started, and Pilate was out of his mind. He couldn't figure this out. He wanted to let Jesus go so badly. And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. With all of their heart and with all of their soul. And Pilate started to get worried. His wife sent him a note and said, I've suffered many things about this just man in a dream. Have nothing to do with this. And Pilate got a little bit more concerned and he went back in and started to talk to Jesus another time. And he says, where do you come from? Don't you know that I got the power to crucify you or to let you go? And Jesus Christ looks him in the eye and he says to you, you've got no power except that it's been given to you from above. Then he goes back out the third time to the people and to the priests because Pilate really does not want to do this. And then the chief priest and the people start to accuse Pilate. You're not Caesar's friend. If you were Caesar's friend, you would judge any man who says he's a king. Pilate couldn't take that. That was really cutting into his territory. That was really scaring him. So he takes a bowl of water and he washes his hands and he says, this is on you. This is on you. I am clean of this man's blood. And he washes his hands. And the people say to Pilate openly, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." We'll gladly accept the responsibility. Crucify him. Pilate orders the crucifixion and sends our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the Praetorian house, to the hall where 400 Roman soldiers live. And it says that they beat him, and they beat him, and they beat them with his fist. And it says they planted the crown of thorns on his head, and that they took sticks and beat his head with the thorns on it. How much of a beating can 400 men give a man? And again, at this particular point, the scriptures go silent until the next morning. He did this. He allowed this. A man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who all he had to say is Father, and God would have sent him those 72,000 angels. But he wouldn't say it. He took it. He took it for you and for me. To pay for our sins. This is all about paying for our sins. Don't tell me sins don't cost something. And they beat him mercilessly all that day, all that evening. And then the scriptures are silent. And the next morning they led him out to be crucified. Consider these things. Consider what our Lord and Savior did for us. It's not pretty, but he was our substitute. We deserved it. He didn't. Gracious Father, you who have, this was your plan, my God. This was the only way in which it could be paid for. And our Lord knew it, and you knew it. And my God, all I can say is how grateful and thankful and humbled I am to consider the fact that our Lord and Savior died for each and every one of us. The pains that he felt, the misery that he put up with, my God, the torture, he despised it, because that's what the scripture says. He despised the cross. But for the joy that was set before him, he never forgot where he was going. And he knew, Father, that the next time that that high priest would see him, he knew he would be coming back in glory, sitting at your right hand, and then coming in the clouds. He never forgot what it was all about. And I pray that we never, ever forget what he did for us. And never take it lightly. And that we never forget what it's all about. And that we can serve and love and give in some small way like he did. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Father. I pray for all of us that we take you and your words so seriously, so incredibly seriously, Father, and that we don't sell our Lord out for pocket change. And I pray these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.